Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey, I want us to do something. Let's pray. And while we're praying, or right now, if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bible, I want to minister to you today out of the book of Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 29, and we're going to read verses 29 and 30. Exodus 29, 29 and 30. And at the end of this service, we're going to consecrate you and believe God that we're going to have the greatest 2019, that we're going to be set apart for the work of God this year, and that God's going to move mightily in our midst. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the people under the sound of my voice. I thank you that they're blessed coming in. They're blessed going out. I thank you that they're the head and not the tail. And right now, I pray, Father, for this service. I pray that the word would open up our eyes. We would see, we would hear, we would connect with you. Father, I thank you that you consecrate us. You already have by your blood, but you use us for your service this next year. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the church said, amen. Exodus 29, 29 through 30. And just to kind of set the text up before I read it to you, we're talking about Aaron, who was the high priest of Israel today. Everybody say Aaron, all right? Moses calls Israel out of Egypt. God calls them out, and God uses Moses. And so the group of people which are known as the children of God are Israel. All throughout the Old Testament, God supernaturally delivers them out of bondage and into blessing. They come out of being slaves in Egypt. They come out of being ruled over by a taskmaster in a foreign land. And God starts to take them on a journey from bondage to blessing. And he leads them with signs and wonders. We have a God who was a miracle worker then, and he's still a miracle worker now. And I declare miracles in your life in 2019. And so Moses, the prophet, leads them out, calls them out. God gives him the Ten Commandments. God shows him a pattern of a temple and worship and a tabernacle that they're to set up as they move from bondage to blessing, where they worship God. You know, sometimes you come out of bondage and you're not really all the way into blessing yet in your life, everywhere you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. And I think one of the greatest things you can do in the in-between, between bondage and between the absolute blessing you want to see, is you ought to set up a tabernacle of worship in between that bondage and that total blessing, and thank God for the partial. Thank God for what he's done. Thank God for taking you halfway. Thank God for bringing you out of Egypt. Come on, let's give God a hand clap if you're thankful that he brought us out of Egypt. Amen? And that's what a tabernacle was. It was a place to bless God for the partial, for him taking them half of the way to Israel and half of the way to Jerusalem. And so if you're going to have a temple, or you're going to have a church, or let's call it a church for lack of a better term, somebody's got to be in charge. And so God said you're to call this man by the name of Aaron, and Aaron's going to be the high priest. And Aaron's going to be over all the worship in the tabernacle. He's going to tell the other priests what to do. He's going to be the boss in a sense. He's going to oversee the sacrificial system of the temple. Back then, for Israel's sins to be remitted, something had to die. And for our sins to be remitted, something still had to die. Back then, it was bulls and goats and animals were sacrificed to remit the sins of Israel. Thank God that we have a better sacrifice and a better covenant. Jesus Christ of Nazareth was sacrificed for our sins, and now we go guilt-free, and he died in our place. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap this morning for being the sacrificial lamb. Amen. Aaron is the high priest. He oversees all of this. And there'll be a day when Aaron's rule as high priest will be over. Just like there was a day that Moses' leadership of Israel was going to be over. God's going to set up another person, because how many of you know that the show must always go on? Amen? Nobody is irreplaceable. Somebody say amen to that. I tell young guys all the time, you think you can't be replaced. I promise you, I've seen your wife. If you die, another man will marry your wife and raise your children. You can be replaced. Somebody say amen to that, right? And so Aaron's days are coming to a close. And so what they do is they call Aaron's sons. The Old Testament way and the Jewish way still is in many ways. And it's kind of the way of the world in a sense. Is if your dad was a carpenter, you would by trade become a carpenter. Think about Jesus. We call Jesus a carpenter. Really, he was a stonemason. There's not a lot of wood around Israel. There's a lot of stone. He comes up seeing his father do those crafts, and he walks into a similar calling. Right now, I'm wearing cowboy boots on the stage because I was raised by a cattleman. I'm in the cattle business right now. Me and my brother, we feed cattle, my mother as well. And I do that not because I just grew up singing, I want to be a cowboy, I want to learn to rope and ride like that country song. I grew up in that atmosphere, and that kind of thing comes around you, it becomes a part of your life. Well, the same was true of Aaron's sons. And so God called Aaron's son to be the high priest after him, and so on and so forth. Exodus 29 through 30. If you're there, say, this morning. Here's what it says. It says these words. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. Everybody say consecrated. Come on, I say it again, consecrated. Say it one more time, consecrated. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days. When he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place. So we see what Aaron is. Aaron is the high priest. It's time in this scripture for his sons to take over. And so they call the son and they say, hey, we're going to anoint you. We're going to set you apart. And the first thing a priest does, you know, the Bible calls you a priest. Every person in this room that you've called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of y'all believe that Jesus is Messiah? Let me see a big hand out there if you believe Jesus is Lord, all right? Somebody say, I'm a Christian. Say it out loud. I'm a Christian. All right, now the scripture teaches if you're a Christian, the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. And the book of Revelation says that you are a priest and a king. Come on, you can say this out loud. Say, I'm a priest. Let's say it again. I'm a priest. The Bible says we have a high priest by the name of Jesus, but now we have entered into the priesthood of all believers. Every believer, in a sense, is a priest. What does a priest do? A priest goes in and ministers to God in the temple and then comes out from the temple and ministers to man by what he's received from the temple. So a priest's job is to take God and to take man and to connect them together. What I really want to do with my life. And I know so many people in this room. I've watched your ministry. I've watched your prayer life. I've watched your service. I've watched your love of the Lamb. I know that what you want to do is what you want to do with your life is you want to take people and you want to take God and you want to connect them together at a higher level. Come on, how many of y'all want to do that and that to be the story and the song of your life that I help God and man meet each other? See, that's what we're about. We're about being a soul-winning church. We want to help people connect to Jesus at a higher level. So you're a priest, you're also a king. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings. And the scripture teaches that there are many other smaller kings under the authority of the kingship of Jesus. See, we're a priest in the sense where we connect man with God, and we're a king in the sense where we rule and reign in authority over our portion of the earth. We've been called to establish the love of Christ. Let's just say this out loud. Say, I'm a priest and I'm a king. One more time. I'm a priest and I'm a king. Come on, that feels good. Say it one more time. I'm a priest and I'm a king. So the time came for Aaron's sons to step into his garment and to become a priest after the order of his father. I want y'all to throw up the picture of what Aaron's garments look like. I want you to check this out. I think it's something that some of you would look great in next week if you get this outfit put up. Whoever wears one next week, I got $100 whoever comes with this next week, all right? Into the temple of God, you'll look good. You'll take a lot of selfies with people next week. So here's what you're looking at. You're looking at Aaron's garments, all right? So he's got an ephod on, a tunic that's got beautiful colors. If you look there, you see the breastplate. That breastplate's out of gold and all these beautiful stones. There are 12 different stones in it for 12 tribes of Israel. He's got the turban on his head. It's a symbol of a righteous mind. He's got all of these garments. So when it came time for Aaron to take off his garments and to pass it to his sons, the sons were called to put those garments on and to wear them for 7 days before they minister in the house of God. It's interesting. How many of y'all think that get-up is comfortable to wear in and out? You know, you don't see people shopping at this in Walmart at night like they do their pajama pants, right? Because this get-up is hard. Turn to your neighbor and say, put on some real pants before you go to Walmart. Just tell them that, huh? Do the world a favor. Put on some pants if for the love of God. Amen? So these guys wear this for 7 days. I remember one time I got depressed in college, And one of my habits is, and come on, we don't live in depression. We rise above it. Somebody say amen to that. But I'm human. I was dealing with depression and a little bit of it. And so Jesse knows when I'm down because I stopped changing my shirt. It was 7 days. I had this Pendleton-looking cowboy bear shirt. I called it bear shirt. I loved it. I wore it for 7 days, and she said, honey, there's something wrong with you. Let's talk. It's time for you to change bear shirt. You got to take it off, right? So this isn't a kid that doesn't want to change their clothes. They got to wear it 7 days. I want you to think about this, that these priests, they had to become uncomfortable for 7 days to be able to take God and take man and to bring them together. And really, if you want to be a Christian that makes a difference in the world, I think that that priesthood, we're a type and a shadow of that priesthood. And if we want to make a difference in a hurting, dying humanity, we have to be willing to crucify the flesh. We have to be willing to take up a cross. We have to be willing to do something that's not for ourselves, but for somebody else. We have to be able to sacrifice ourselves just like Jesus did a sense on the cross. We need to put on the garments that'll help bring God and humanity together. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. You think we ought to be a people that are willing to become uncomfortable so someone else can be comforted with the love of our Savior. Somebody say amen to that. These guys put on these garments for 7 days. For the last 7 days, many of you have went without food. You've only drank water or liquid, or you laid down your double-stuffed Ho-Hos and Oreos, and God sees your sacrifice. Amen. And I believe God's going to honor it. See, these guys, they become a different type of people on the earth. Think about it. They become consecrated. They become set apart. Now, fast in and of itself won't consecrate you, and us laying our hands on you won't consecrate you. Consecration comes from only one place, the blood of Jesus. But we do these things as a reminder. How many of y'all forget about the goodness of God as you go on in life sometime? I know I do. I'm living, doing my thing, and life happens to me, and I forget this or I forget that, and I need God to come and remind me that I've been consecrated, to remind me that I'm set apart, to remind me that I'm different from the world. And those reminders make us different. That makes us walk like a priest. We walk like Jesus. We're looking for somebody to help and to heal and to love instead of looking at ourselves. I believe today is a day of consecration. And so I want to call us as a church to put on some garments. They might be uncomfortable. They might look odd. You might be walking around in a turban with a breastplate somewhere that nobody else understands your getup or your wardrobe. But the Bible says we're a peculiar people. We're a different people. We're a royal priesthood is the way St. Peter said it. And when you see yourself like that, you don't care. You don't care if you look different. You don't care if you don't fit in. You don't care if you're not politically correct. You don't care if people receive you or invite you out. Because there's something better. There's something bigger. There's a royal priesthood you can be a part of. Now I don't have to live or walk like the world lives or walks. Because God's called me to something transcendent in life. So there's some garments I'm telling you got to put on. We've had on the garment of fasting. Come on, give everybody that fasted a hand clap. We put on the garment of fasting for 7 days, amen? Jesus didn't say, if you fast, he says, when you fast. Everybody say, when you. It's not the if yous, it's the when you fast. It's a garment, and I'll tell you, most Christians have never put on the garment of fasting. You know, you start talking about fasting or calling people to fast, and they're like, fast? What do you mean, like not watch TV at night? No, that's not a fast, that's abstinence, right? It's good. Fasting is the absence of food. And I talked to some people went on a 7-day water fast in here, and their family's coming to them like, you're going to die, honey, please, eat something. Look at your neighbor and just tell them it won't kill you. Tell them that, I promise you. I could probably fast for 70 days and not die. Look at me, there's a whole lot of man on stage right now. It won't hurt you. But putting on those garments and man, even inconveniencing yourself, I think it sets you up to have an anointing and a consecration that changes the world. Come on, we're going to be a church that wears the garment of fasting. Second garment I think we ought to have on is we ought to have the garment of prayer. I believe this church, I'm calling you to be a people of prayer. Come connect with God. Talk to God. God wants to talk to you. I'm going to tell you there's an open line to heaven in the name of Jesus. You can hit your knees and you can enter his throne room anytime you come boldly to his throne. And he'll be there to talk to you and walk with you, to lift you and to help you, to comfort you, and to give you divine direction. I declare that we put on the garment of prayer, that we're the people that are up early in the morning. We're the people that pray throughout the day, pray without ceasing. We're the people that somebody comes to whenever they say, man, they say it's stage 4 cancer and I need help. Can you pray for me? And you're the person with healing in your hands that prays for them and sees that devil flee and leave their life. Come on, somebody say amen to that. That's what the garment of prayer will do in your life. It's powerful. I thank you that I think without a doubt, we're also to be the people with a garment of praise. You know, the Bible says if you put on a garment of praise, you can throw off a garment or a spirit of heaviness. There's something about praise that changes the atmosphere. And if you'll learn to be a person that praises God no matter what it looks like around you, I'm telling you, depression will leave your life. Darkness will leave your life. A funk around you will leave your life. That garment of praise is powerful. And most of your battles can be won without attacking it in the natural, just by lifting your hands to heaven and having a garment of praise that's above everybody else. You know, Moses and the children of Israel, they went to war with the pagan people. And Moses was up on a cliff watching the war. And he lifted his hands to heaven. He began to praise God in the middle of the battle. He lifted his hands up. Man, if you're comfortable with it, you ought to lift a hand to heaven right now. I feel the anointing in here. He lifted his hands up. And as long as the man of God kept his hands up, Israel prevailed in the war. They kept their hands up, and the battle kept being won by the people of God. And then Moses got weary in praise, and his hands began to come down. And when his hands became to come down, the enemy began to defeat his life. And so what they did is they got two men who would come and hold up the man of God's hands. And when the man of God kept his hands up, the war started being won. I'm going to tell you, if we have a garment of praise and a spirit of praise in our life, there's no fastball the devil can throw at us that we can't hit and knock out of the park. Come on, you ought to praise God right now. You ought to just begin to give him glory. Somebody ought to shout out loud. Somebody ought to praise him. Let's put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. You're coming out of bondage. You're coming into blessing. God's going to move in your life. Come on, it's that garment of praise. And so this guy walks around in these garments for 7 days. Come on, you're going to look. Just turn to your neighbor. Tell them you're going to look good in this for 7 days. Just tell them that, huh? You look good in this for 7 days. Walks around in his garments for 7 days. 7 days. He's in the garments. And then he's going to be anointed after that. What does it mean to be anointed? It means to be smeared with the power and the presence of God. That's all it means. Set apart for your assignment. I'm telling you, God's going to set us apart and anoint us for our assignment. What's that mean to be anointed? It means to be empowered. That's all it means, empowered. See, Christians out there, some of you are Christian school teachers. You're not just operating in a gift as a school teacher. You're anointed to be a school teacher. You're empowered. Mothers, how many of y'all think it takes an anointing to be a good mother? Come on. Moms, you're anointed to be a mother. Amen? So plumbers, you're anointed. You see problems nobody else can see and you fix it. There's an anointing for that. There's an anointing for business. There's an anointing for education. There's an anointing for builders. Tell me there's an anointing. That anointing comes. You wear the priest as the people of God, the anointing comes. There's two words it says that they were going to do to this priest. Number one, they were going to anoint them. Number two, they were going to consecrate them. Somebody say consecrated. Come on, say it out loud, consecrated. To be anointed meant to be smeared with oil, but to be consecrated meant to be set apart for a service. I want to live my life in a way that it's obvious and it's evident that I'm set apart for the service of God supernaturally. That's really what I want. Now, I know we got a group of people here that you feel the same way. And so you've been, many of you, for 7 days, you've had those garments on. And I don't care if you did or not. I want to pray for you anyway right now. What we're going to do is we're going to consecrate you. We're going to pray over you. We're going to believe God. Every person in here that wants hands laid on them, I prayed for hundreds and hundreds of people in the first service. I'm going to pray for you today, and we're going to pray for the blessing of God to come on your 2019. And I believe if God has blessed you, if God be for you, who in the world could possibly be against you? Come on. We're going to have the greatest 2019 we've ever had. It's going to be powerful.